apt. Two or three Sundays ago, Jesus' imperatives. Last Sunday, so as to help us make the right connection and relation with some of the things we study, I made the decision to bring in a very important aspect of God's moral attribute. Remember, we looked on last week that God has natural attribute and moral attributes. So, the emphasis last week was on God's moral attribute and especially the holiness of God. Because the holiness of God is connected to everything that God does. And as we learn then, and before I get back, because we need to make the connection between God's holiness and the will of God, the plan of God, God's Christ's plan of salvation. And we hope to make that connection today. Okay, well, we have poor readers and we need them, and any other person who, among the brothers who can help read, we need your help. So as I've said, while today's lesson you may title it God's Holiness and His Will and Purpose, it's the same lesson on Christ's imperatives. That is, there are some musts that we notice in the Bible, especially as those must relate to man carrying out God's will. So, I begin with mentioning a few things that were said last week. That because of the fundamental character and importance of God's holiness, it is God's holiness rather than God's love, God's power, God's will that should be given the preeminence. Wait, I'm not here saying that God's love, God's power, God's will should not be given preeminence. I would be crazy if I'm saying that. But, as we will see, well, we have seen last week that God's very throne is rest upon His holiness. That God's holiness is the foundation of His reigning as a God. We have looked on some passages last week. Now, God's holiness is the regulating principle. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell, by the regulating principle? It is the holiness of God that regulate God's love, God's will, God's purpose, and whatever it is, the holiness of God that regulates these. In a little while, we are going to understand that God's wrath is a manifestation or a demonstration of God's holiness. Brother Mitchell, put that another way that I can understand it. No, thank you for asking. Had there been no sin against God, there would be no wrath of God. It is because of God's holiness that comes against man's sin that God pour out His wrath. And had there been no sin, there would be no divine wrath. We will read a few passages relative to that in a few minutes. So I repeat, it is the holiness of God that regulates His love. It is the holiness of God that regulates His will and purpose. It is the holiness of God that regulates God's power. I said last week, and this is a biblical truth, right view of the holiness of God leads to right view of sin. You want to turn that around, Brother Mitchell? Thanks for asking. When our view of God's holiness is deficient or cracky, then our view of sin will be deficient also. That is, we will not have a proper view of sin if we do not have a proper view of God's holiness. That's how important it is that we learn more about God's holiness. In fact, I don't want to read it. Remember last week, it was when Isaiah started to get a touch, an idea of the holiness of God. And then it brought to him that he was a cursed word man. He liked to use indecent words. And when he comes upon the holiness of God, you know, he said that I am so sinful. Not in so many words, but that's the implication. In fact, brother, read it, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5 through 7. Remember, we read that on the passage in Job chapter 40, but we'll not go there today, just the one in Isaiah.
Then said I, woe is me.
Now, this is the great messianic prophet.
Isaiah is that prophet who wrote more about Jesus Christ hundreds of years before Christ came. Wrote more about the Messiah than probably any other prophet in the Old Testament. But before the Almighty God could use Isaiah, I need your attention. Before God could use Isaiah, he had to help Isaiah to acknowledge his sinful state. And then the angel had to bring a fire coal to cleanse his mouth. Let us hear it from.
Then said I, woe is me.
Woe is me.
For I am undone.
I am undone, which means I am so bad in sin.
Because I am a man of unclean lips.
I use a lot of Rasta words. That's right. Read.
And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips.
The people among whom I live, they also curse all the time.
For mine eyes have seen the King,
mm-hmm.
the Lord of hosts.
You see, the Almighty God probably sent an angel. And Isaiah thought he saw God. Brother Isaiah, if you see God, you will not remain alive.
But this brings to Isaiah how sinful he was. Read on a little further, brother.
Then flew one of the seraphims.
That's the angel.
Having a live coal.
A live coal.
In his hand.
Uh-huh.
Which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar.
Uh-huh.
And he laid it upon my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And said.
You notice where he put the live. You see, we call it fire coal. Hot. You notice where he put it upon the man's mouth.
And said.
Wait, brother, wait. It's unfortunate that angel not coming with coal, fire coal, to put up on the mouth of some of us. Huh? We gossip, we lie, we backbite. Are we all here? Huh? Read, brother.
And said,
uh-huh.
Lo, this hath touched my lips,
uh-huh.
thy lips. And thine iniquity is taken away.
Your iniquity is taken away. But notice where the iniquity was concentrated. His mouth. The Bible has a lot to say about our mouth, our tongue. The Bible calls the tongue the world of iniquity. Huh? Not an island. Not a continent, not a country, world of iniquity. So all of this is about God's holiness. In the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 13, let us hear it. In fact, have it and hold it, brother. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 13. We hear about God's due order. That's right. And somebody saying, Brother Mitchell,
were you getting off on a new sermon now? You're talking about the holiness of God. And now you come up with God's due order. Why don't you stay on the same sermon? I'm on the same sermon. Still about the holiness of God.
Because what we're going to see that as we learn more about God's due order, we are going to learn that it has everything to do with the holiness of God. Yes, in this passage, let us hear verse 13, brother, chapter 15.
For because he did it not at the first,
mm-hmm.
the Lord our God made a breach upon us.
Mm-hmm.
For that we sought him not after the due order.
Brother
Jonathan, God must always be sought after the due order. This is not just an Old Testament thing.
Because as we proceed in this lesson a little further, we are going to understand what is really referred to as Yuada. And that, in fact, right up front, God must always be dealt with, be related to, be worshipped, be served, be honored according to God's due order. What do you mean, Mr. Mitchell, in a nutshell? God's way. Read the passage again, brother.
For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us.
I want you to notice. Because we did it not at first. But they did something at first. They made an attempt at first. That's why the Almighty God killed Uzziah. But you notice David says, because we did it not at first. The implication here, when you do not do it God's way, it's not done at all. That's a great lesson for us. If it's not done God's way, it's not done at all. Then and now. And that's why God made a breach. Are we all there? You see, brothers and sisters, the wrath of God poured out against this breach is all about God's holiness. What he said there in verse 15 you have just read, that because we did it not at first, the Lord made a what, brother?
A breach.
A breach.
Upon us.
Upon us.
For that we sought him not after the due order.
Everybody listening? Because we sought him not the right way after the due order. God's wrath that we see here in chapter 13 from verse 5 to verse 10 is all about the holiness of God. That's how comes God's wrath poured out upon Uzziah. That wrath of God is a manifestation of God's holiness. In fact, I have just pointed out that God's wrath is a function or a manifestation of God's holiness against sin. I pointed out that where there is no sin, there is no divine wrath. That is a fact. Run to Romans chapter 1 verse 18, chapter 2 verse 5 and verse 8. Let us hear it.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men.
Wait, somebody didn't hear that, Jonathan. For the wrath of God is what?
Revealed from heaven. Against all ungodliness.
All ungodliness, that's sin.
And unrighteousness, that's sin.
But watch here. That wrath comes because of this. Is holiness. That was chapter 1, verse 18.
Yes.
Look at chapter 2 and verse 5.
But after thy hardness and impenitent heart.
Listen to this. When the Almighty God gives you a chance to be enlightened, to learn His will and His truth, and you continue to harden your heart, you continue to push Jesus Christ one side, you continue to pursue material goals and objectives, and forget that the most important thing in life is serving God. When you keep doing that, and God gives you opportunities. Listen to this passage.
But after thy hardness and impenitent heart,
after you continue to harden your heart,
treasure,
and continue to be impenitent, which means you are not penitent. To be penitent means you are repentant. Read.
Treasurest upon thyself.
You're saving. When you do that, you see, treasure up. That means you are heaping up. Notice what you are heaping up. Watch it. You are heaping up. You are heaping up. That's right. You're saving a grow. Lord have mercy. You see how you're saving a grow. But what are you saving, brother?
Up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath.
You see, W-R-A-T-A. You notice what you're saving? The Bible uses the word treasure up. That means you are building up a saving, but it's not money. It's not peace and happiness. It's God's wrath. This is an outpouring. It is holiness that conditioned that wrath. Read now.
Against the day of wrath,
mm-hmm,
and revelation of the righteous judgment.
There is a day when God's ultimate outpouring of wrath will be coming. We want to make sure that we are in Jesus Christ, and that we are faithful to Him, and that we are sincere, and that we are humble in the sight of God. Because that day is coming. In 1 Chronicles 15, verse 13, because God, remember that's where we are, you know. Because God was not sought according to His word. This business about due order has everything to do with serving God, worshiping God, becoming a Christian, relating to God, living the Christian life God's way, according to God's word. And in this case, because God was not sought according to His word, there was a breach. And so it is every time you and I, any man or woman, engage in spiritual religious activities outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is a breach. Every time we operate religiously or spiritually, and it is not in keeping with the teachings of the gospel, we are outside of God's due order. Let us look a little more now into God's due order. Get the picture now in chapter 13. Verse 9 through 12. And chapter 15, verse 2, verse 12 through 13, and verse 16.
And when they came unto the threshing floor of
Watch here now. Very important. When they came to the threshing floor
of Shidon,
Uzzah
put forth his hand to hold the ark.
Wait. I want you to get the picture of God's holiness. Understand better God's wrath. Understand better this whole business of due order. Watch here now. The Philistine had fought against Israel. Are we there? you are not there. Well, let me bring you there again. The Philistine had fought against Israel and had among them, the Philistine heathen, they didn't know God. They had the ark. So to speak, the tabernacle. That was the thing that most represent the Almighty God among the Israelites. The tabernacle. Just like the church today. That's right. What was noticed? News came to David that the man on whose property, you following me? The ark was, the man was blessed. A heathen, not an Israelite. A Philistine. And that it's like everything the man touched become gold. So David said, I need to put an end to this. So David decided to move the ark and bring it into Israel. And somebody might be asking, but Brother Mitchell, the Almighty God knew that the ark was not supposed to be among the heathen Philistines. Why still bless them? Well, let's not get into divine politics right now. That's right. But you see, so David decided now to go and get the ark. David was strong enough. The Philistine couldn't fight against him and win. The Philistine knew that. So this now is the effort to get the ark. You're at verse 5. Read it again, chapter
13.
Verse 9.
And when they came unto the threshing floor of Shidon, Uzzah put forth his hand.
Wait, brother. No, you missed out on a lot there.
Start at 5.
Yes.
So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt. Even unto the entering of Hemath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath Jearim. And David went up, and all Israel, to Bela.
Wait, it was like a national holiday in Israel. Every Israelite knew the importance and the significance of the ark. It represented God's presence among the Israelites. And every Israelite knew that. And when this day come, when they were going to go over in the Philistine territory and bring the ark into Israel territory, it was like a national holiday in Israel. Read on, brother.
And David went up, and all Israel, to Bela, that is to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it.
Really?
And they carried the ark of God in a new cart.
In what?
In a new cart.
In what?
A new cart.
You need to get that, because I'm coming back to that. You see, brothers, we get excited to this day over newness, novelty, innovation. That is destroying us. We are told that the Athenians spent their time on nothing else other than to hear or tell something new. That's right, newness. That was the problem. Wait. David had made a grave. Brother Michel, remember, we are not country people, you know. Okay, many of you don't know grave. Well, a lot of the people, I was about to say, the men who sell coconut jelly, but I'm forgotten. No, they do it in grave very much. Anymore, they pack it in the van or their car and sell it. But up to a few years ago, when the man in his house drawn tray or cart would come in the neighborhood with his jelly coconut. Well, David built a nice one. You can imagine how nice it was and all Israel. In fact, let me get back to that. Read on a little further, brother.
And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart.
That's right.
And David and all Israel played before God with all their might.
You notice? Are you noticing with me? David and all Israel played before the Lord with all their might. It was a national day of dancing, celebrating, and just name it. Excitement. But you see, we have to watch. We have to watch. When we get excited in religious things, we have to first make sure that it is in keeping with God's will. Truly, we can be drawn away by our excitement. Because here you have excitement personifies. But watch here now. Read, brother.
Played before God with all their might and with singing.
You hear? That's sincerity. They played before God. All their might. They weren't just galanging so. They were in it, their might, their strength, effort, played before the Lord with all their might and singing.
And with heart. Great
God in heaven must be enjoying this. Read, brother, read.
With singing and with harps. And with psalteries. And with timbrels.
You see, brother, wait, they had too much of them instrumental music there. That's right. That must carry them away. Read, brother.
And with timbrels. And with cymbals. And with trumpets.
Wait. My God. That's a lot of instrument. What are you do with so much instrument? Read on, brother.
And when they came onto the threshing floor of Shidon,
Uzzah
put forth his hand to hold the ark. For the oxen stumbled.
The oxen that pulled the car, the cow that pulled the car, stumbled, and the ark shook like it's going to turn over. And a sincere, zealous Israelite steadied it. What a wonderful thing he did. You see, brother, there's a way which seems it right unto man. Help me here. But the end thereof are the ways of death. We must always check our action, our thought, our word, our worship, becoming Christian, serving God. We must always check that against the gospel. Because our feeling can be deceptive. This man was sincere. You or I would have done the same thing. Read, brother. Put forth his hand. Touch the ark.
And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah.
Brother, wait. You see, that anger there is all about that God is holy. You don't relate to him or anything of his. Your way. It must be God's way. And you do not guess God's way. You do not imagine God's way. God reveal his way. And the anger of the Lord was kindled.
Against Uzzah.
Against Uzzah. What did the sincere, good, committed man do? Just make sure that the ark of the covenant and the tray did not fall over. The man just steadied. Isn't that wonderful? You see, in our way of judging things, it seems wonderful. But in God's way of estimating things, it's wonderful only when it is in keeping with God's word. Read, brother.
And he smote him.
And God killed him.
Because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God.
Wait.
In a little while, you are going to realize it's not just touching the ark that angered God. In a little while, you are going to see that all the things that were going on, the new cart and all of that, was completely contrary to God's due order. In a little while, you will see. And David learned his lesson now. You see, this has a lot of blessing to us. In a little while, we will be, well, oh Lord of mercy. Yes, we're going to, you see, in our time, we have multiple choice baptism. you see, God has one true baptism. But the religious world of our time gives you multiple choice. You can get baptized the way you want. But let me rest that until we get to my child. But where we are now, Uzziah, and God smote him there. Read on, brother.
And David was displeased.
David was displeased.
Because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah.
That's right. God killed the man. I like the nice way in which the inspired writer wording made a breach. Come plainly, man. Tell us that God killed the man. Talk about make a breach. That's right. What verse are you, brother?
13:11. Chapter 13:11.
Okay, read to verse 12.
Wherefore, that place is called Perizzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that
watch
day.
Watch here. And David was afraid of God that day. Read.
Say. How shall I bring the ark of God home to me?
We want to spend a little time on this hall. Because that is the core of the lesson. You see, brothers and sisters, visiting friends, moving this symbol that represents God's presence among the Israelites, called the ark, or the tabernacle, moving it is not the important consideration here. Is how you do it. Don't miss that. Because it's the same with us today. Becoming a Christian. You see, how did you become a Christian? Worshipping is important. God has great interest in how do you worship. Living the Christian life is important. God has great interest in how do you live it. Are we all there? So this whole, David was afraid of God that day. And here is the fear. What was going on in David's head is like this. I need to bring this ark over to us. But how is it to be done? In fact, let us get a little more view of that. Chapter 15, verse 2.
Then David said, none ought to carry the ark.
Wait. David, because of the breach that was made on Uzziah, God killed a man. It's not only David, every Israelite was afraid. David learned the lesson that the Almighty God wanted. Not just David, the nation of Israel to learn. Listen, David, in verse 2.
Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites.
You all hear that? Wait.
Here's the significance of that. 300 years before this, in the book of Numbers, no less than 4 different times the Almighty God stipulates that it's the Kohathites, Levites, that should carry the ark on their shoulder. 300 years before this. But you see, when something is around us for a time, we begin to take it for granted.
Amen.
I told you I would be getting back to how we love new things, eh?
Amen.
Huh? Lot of marriages are destroyed because either the wife wants a new husband or the husband wants a new wife. Are we all there?
Amen.
You know, sound like you are here. Huh? We are in good job, but and God bless us, but we're tired of this job. Before you give God thanks that you are earning something and you want a new job. So we like newness. How my granddaughter put it, I don't think she used the word monotony. Bored. No, it's perfect. When I pass 50, 60, 70, 80, or 100, I learn what the word bored means. But my little granddaughter, Melanie's daughter, Shiloh, long ago I hear them talk about how they are bored. My God! Huh? Huh? So, ladies and gentlemen, we... You know, this business of newness, we want change, we easily get bored with the things that has been around us, if you are not careful, people are bored with the communion, before the hand of the privilege that it represents, they are bored with the singing, they are bored with everything. When things are around us for a time, we want something new. That's a problem. 300 years ago, God instructed them how the ark should be transported. Read, brother, chapter 2, verse 2 of chapter 15.
For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God.
Wait, you all hear that? So, David, how did you make that new cart? Why did you make that new cart to carry the ark? If you know this, you see, it's after the breach that David looking to sell, and there's no doubt that probably prophet and priest surround him, and they go back and check the law. Huh? It's always good to go back and check with God's word. Some people learn, so even in the church, they learn things that weren't really so from they were small. And sometimes when they hear the truth, they don't even have the Christ-like attitude to say, let me go and check it. Huh? David and the people, the priests and prophets went and checked. They searched the scripture to see what was to be. And realize that the excitement, they had over their new car innovation, huh? Everybody, we have to go there. You want to come and see the new thing that David put together to carry the ark. Every Israelite wants to go and see the new car, huh? But God. God is not for innovation and newness like we are. Read now, brother, where you stop for.
And to minister unto him forever.
That was verse 2?
Yes, verse 2.
Well, step down to verse 12 and 13.
And said unto them, Ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites.
Uh-huh.
Sanctify yourselves.
Uh-huh.
Both ye and your brethren.
Uh-huh.
That ye may bring up the ark of the Lord, God of Israel, unto the place that I have prepared for it.
Brother McFarlane, David is encouraging the Levites to prepare themselves.
Amen.
This is not anything new, but they became careless. We too sometimes become careless.
Amen.
We sort of go ahead and do things because it looks nice to us, it looks innocent. Huh? David is preparing them.
Amen.
That was verse 12. Verse 13.
For because he did it not at the first.
David is reminding them that the attempt we made at first to move the ark, contrary to God's instruction, contrary to God's directive, contrary to God's condition, contrary to God's heart, we need to do it the right way.
Amen.
Read, brother.
The Lord our God made a breach upon us,
mm-hmm.
for that we sought him not after his due order.
God always has a due order. Always.
Amen.
Look at verse 15, brother.
And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders.
That's the way, brother, that was stipulated in the book of Numbers, many places. In verse 15, God's due order is detailed. Huh?
Amen.
Read verse, the total of verse 15 there.
With the stars thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord.
You hear? God had commanded how the ark should be removed. Amen. By the Kohathite Israelite in the time of Moses. That's some 300 years before this. But like we are, something around us, we get bored, monotonous, we want new things. That's what happened to them, and there's lesson here for us. You know, ladies and gentlemen, God's due order is senior. David in chapter 2, chapter 15, verse 2, which we read, is echoing the national lesson of the holiness and the judgment of God. This lesson that God wanted to teach the Israelites and to us as we read about the tragic death of Uzziah. We see the wrath of God resulting from the holiness of God. We have to wrap up this lesson, but I cannot put aside this lesson and we don't hear the rest of it. Not today. Because all that I've been saying over the past 20, 30 minutes about God's due order, I want to relate that to us. That's right. I want us to look on the how. Because when the Bible talks about God's due order, it was referring to how the ark should be moved. Today, We have sprinkling as baptism. Are we all here? We have confirmation as baptism. Are we all here? We have the fact that some say you are baptized as an outward sign of an inner grace. The Bible tells us you are baptized for the removal of sin. There are others says they experience the baptism of fire. There are others say they experience the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There are six baptisms here.
The Almighty God had one way stipulated to move the ark. One way. When we get back to this lesson, we are going to be looking, comparing the incident at the ark and this business about due order, because the term due order is all about how the ark was to be removed. That's what it's about. And we have just read it in chapter 15, verse 2, and verse 15 of chapter 15. That God had stipulated some 300 years before that the Kohathite Levite should carry the ark on their shoulder. Well, Brother Mitchell, what? If they do something else. When we come back, we are going to relate to the fact that, may I, the brother is searching for his invitation song. I probably didn't find it already. So give me a few minutes or a few seconds. You know, a man or a woman will be attending a church where it is impossible for him to carry out God's will for the saving of his soul. Are we all there? That person probably has been reading his or her Bible and realized that the true form of Bible baptism is an immersion or burial in water. Are we all there? That person went to his or her priest 2, 3, 4 times and pointed out to the priest or the bishop what he or she has found. And finally, that so-called priest or bishop tell him or her, well, that's not the way we do it here. Here we sprinkle, or you're confirmed when you're a child. But look here, the church up yonder there, they immerse. You can go up there and do it and come back. Come back. Under God high heaven, if you cannot carry out God's will here, and the leader here sent you at another place, why under God high heaven would you want to come back here? We will look into that question and the logic, the common sense, the intelligence, or the idiosity of those concepts when we come back to this lesson. Dear brothers and sisters, don't take leave of your sins that God gives you. Do little thinking now. Wait. The Almighty God, you are going to learn, didn't give us option and multiple choice. So don't miss the rest of this lesson. God did not give us option. You choose how you want to be baptized. This church tell you how it does it. The other church does it a different way. When we come back, we are going to pick up on this point and use the business of the due order that God always has. He has always had a way in which things are to be done to please Him. And when we do not do it His way, we are in danger. God sent you here this morning to learn, and we invite you to come back to hear the rest of this lesson. In fact, I may just point out right here, God's willing, while we invite you back Sunday coming, you will not hear the rest of this lesson Sunday. Most likely Sunday coming, you'll be hearing either Brother Gladwin Kiddo or Brother Finley from Manig as they come and share God's word with you. But in a 2 weeks' time, or after 2 weeks, you will get back to pick up on the last part of this lesson. But you know what? If you're here today, you need not wait until later or tomorrow to give your life to Jesus Christ. You have heard enough today to save you, and you have heard enough today to condemn you. But you see, Jesus Christ doesn't want to condemn you. Christ loves you and He wants to save you. And He wants to save you now. That's why His word says, today is the day of salvation. If you hear His voice, that is through the preaching of the gospel, don't harden your heart. Christ calls you right now as we stand and sing.